Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Goodyear Hotline, and we are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck, Pier 17. It is looking a little Gotham out there today with the dark cloud overhead and the light gray.
It's the summer.
Arkham Asylum somewhere
in the
distance.
Supposed to be clear skies.
Is that always?
Yes, that is what it's supposed to be.
It never rains in Southern California, does it? Is that song correct?
I don't know when the last. I might have had a little light showers a couple days ago.
Light showers? Today it was not light showers this morning coming in, but hey, it is what it is. It's summer, and we're here with you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Question we're asking is a simple one. As Aaron Rodgers, you heard it there in the rejoin, I don't want a farewell tour. So, okay, it's not. Even though a year ago you said you thought this might be my last year and actually did contemplate retirement, but decided I'm coming back.
You really believe he was contemplating retirement?
I do not. Not at all. I'm saying he said. It doesn't mean I believe it, but it's what the man said.
He also said he didn't want to play for him anymore either.
He said that too.
And I believed him.
I will never be back. And how many people said that? I don't think he's ever going to play for the Packers
But he
again.
Did renew his membership at the golf course.
And that was the tip, right? Wasn't that? That was the one that suggested to us, oh, okay, then he's definitely playing. It's always that. Or just ask A.J. Hawk, because he seemed to know
around, man.
All along. So on Key, J, and Z on Twitter, we asked this simple question involving Aaron Rodgers, who has one Super Bowl, as you know, is which quarterback needs a second Super Bowl win the most? So who needs that second ring the most out of current quarterbacks? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes. You figure Mahomes got the really long – he's 25 years old. He's got a long runway. Russell Wilson, he's over 30 now. And he had a chance at a second Super Bowl, but they decided to throw instead of hand it off. And then there's Aaron Rodgers, who's been to back-to-back NFC Championship games. And now, of course, we don't know if he's going to be in Green Bay or somewhere else after this season.
The dumbest play call in sports.
Not giving it to Marshawn?
It's the dumbest play call in the history of sports.
Belichick
knew it
was coming.
Of sports. They practiced.
You say in the history of the sport. It's the worst play call.
In the history of sports.
In the history of any sport.
The worst. Oof. It's the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you're this close to putting another ring on your finger. And you decide to throw the damn ball instead of running.
Were they on the five?
On the two-yard line.
They were right there.
Yes.
And
give it to Beast
Mode. Beast Mode.
If you he got you there by running the ball.
Do you believe?
Oh, man, every time I talk about this, I get mad.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Do you believe the theory that Pete Carroll wanted Russell Wilson to have that moment, and that's why he, instead of handing it off to Marshawn, he wanted him to throw it?
They get too
for
cute.
The win.
They get too cute and smart, and they're going to out-trick somebody.
Not out-tricking Bill Belichick.
They expect, okay, they know we're going to run the ball. They're getting ready to load up, and they're getting ready to do this. If we throw it, they won't know, and then Russ can be the hero.
And Belichick had his team prepared for that play. That's the most amazing thing of the whole story, he had them prepared for that situation.
See, I love telling these type of stories.
Go ahead.
You know how detailed, and I always say them, that staff and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Belichick and Parcells, you know how detailed. So I got an interception in the playoff game. The week of the playoffs, there's only five plays that a team could run in that situation to score. I met with Belichick after practice every single day for about an hour watching five damn plays. And guess what? I got an interception in the Jacksonville game because of it.
Yeah,
I knew where it was. I knew where to be. I knew
it was there.
You know how he talks with them. And I had to sit there for like an hour each day going over that.
See right here. He gives it away. He looks this way.
Look, if he goes over here, if Brunel does this, then this is what they're going to happen.
Bill doesn't sound like that. Why do you make your voice sound like that?
You know, mumbles. But it was – but detailed. Like literally detailed to a point where I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, I got it, coach.
That's why he and Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks coach, they have such a great relationship because Tibbs is the same way. He'll do the same damn thing to you. He will bore you to tears with the same play over and over again. But when it happens in a game, you're ready for it.
He used to get so mad at, like, the scout team. We running scout team offense against the defense. Yeah. And we made, you know, Randy Moss, we play in Minnesota, and Randy Moss may go 18 yards in a game, and our receivers might go 15, Bill would go nuts because he wants it done exactly like the way it's supposed to be.
Right, right.
As he said, do your job.
Yeah, but he also wants you to see it and go through it, so the muscle memory certainly is there. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So the poll right now, overwhelming, it's Aaron Rodgers. 71% so far, almost 2,000 votes, are saying Aaron Rodgers is the one who needs to win that second Super Bowl the most. Russell Wilson at number two, and Mahomes far behind because I think so many people are expecting he'll get it eventually. Let's go to Tim in Florida. Go ahead, Tim.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Just want to make a comment about Aaron Rodgers. I believe that that the Packers did do him wrong, but at this point, I just wish Aaron Rodgers would just shut up and just, I mean, either you're there or you're not. I agree with what Keith said, and I'll let you guys comment. And I'll take my comments off the air, but I'm just tired of hearing him talk.
It's funny, the thing is, he didn't really talk that much. The one time he did talk at length was when he first came back and he just tore into the franchise.
I mean, I get it.
I think we're tired of the talk about Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I get where the way he was feeling. I understand, you know, you've been there and you wanted things done a certain way. I get it. I understand it. I just wish he'd have just either left or came in early.
Yeah.
It called it a day instead of us having to cover a damn thing for like 6 months.
It's so much it's so similar, though, to what Brett Favre did, isn't it? Like, towards the end, when Favre would say he's going to retire, but then don't officially retire, and they kept the Packers waiting, and then all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to play.
For about 2 years.
He did that about 2 years, and then finally they were like, all right, we're done. Like, we're not waiting anymore. We're moving on from you. And that felt so much like that. But they didn't have the Aaron Rodgers waiting
Brett
in the wings
Favre,
like they
Brett
did back
Favre
then.
Brett Favre was not demanding certain things. And
no, he just wasn't sure he wanted to play.
Yeah, he just wasn't sure if he wanted to play or not. That was
right.
all.
But they kept that felt like it dragged on too, though. Waiting for him to decide whether or not he was going to play, that made them move on. It was easy to, though, because they had Aaron Rodgers. They don't have that now. So it was, you know, that was more of dig in and hold on to it. But again, he's got the one Super Bowl. He doesn't have another one, and that could affect.
He doesn't need another one.
You don't
one
think
to get
he
it.
Needs it?
He doesn't need it to get into the Hall of Fame.
Oh God, no, no, of course not.
But
three MVPs get you in the Hall of Fame.
He needs it to, I guess, justify everything that's been going on in his career, the lack of Super Bowls, the offseason this year, the demand of having more control, Brett Favre there. Bart Starr, five. I mean, he needs it for those reasons. And to be solidified, in my opinion, as that quarterback that has everything, meaning arm, strength, this, that, brain, da-da-da-da-da. So you put him at the greatest. You know, when you talk about these great quarterbacks.
If he gets a second ring, would you put him as the most talented quarterback to ever play the game? Like, could he be in that penthouse? Does he need a second ring to get into that penthouse? I mean, Tom Brady is going to be the GOAT.
But the most talented, I mean, Steve Young was talented.
Yeah.
So it's like Joe Montana was talented.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know if you say that. You just continue to say the things that we're already saying. He has a strong arm. He's athletic. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, he can throw a back across his body. Did you see that? That's it, because you cannot eliminate Steve Young, Joe Montana's. You cannot eliminate that when you say talent-wise. And then Patrick Mahomes has come. I mean, his talent alone.
I said, that he was so close last year. He was so close last year.
Hope he gets another Super Bowl ring, because I like the positive stuff, as you know. I don't like all that negative CCC, ah-ha-ha. I don't like that.
Well, he's been very good at, whether it's him or other people doing it for him, talking about how he is just, it's so unfair how they don't build right around him. And he's he carries this team. The Packers never built properly around him. That's all we've ever heard. That's been the narrative around him.
I mean,
he gets everything he wants this year, they better win.
They have some pretty damn good players, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, let's stop that.
That's been the narrative,
though. Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers, if only they had a good team.
They had some pretty good players. Clay Matthews Jr. is knocking on the door of a Hall of Fame jacket. I mean, let's not act like he didn't play with some awesome receivers. And, I mean, that's just what people want to say.
All right, meanwhile, with the Packers, should they be concerned about Jordan Love's injury? We'll do some hot news or not news coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on ESPN2.
Hey, it's Greeny, and as you fill out your fantasy football roster, don't miss Bob Costas with me live on Thursday, looking ahead to the start of the football season and a whole lot more. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
JZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn with Key. We got headlines to get to around the NFL as week two of the preseason will be underway tonight. Eagles and the Patriots in Philadelphia. By the way, I did confirm that. We checked it. It will be at the Link tonight.
Well, it confused 7:30. Me because Mike was in Boston, and I'm like, well, wasn't just at practice? You know, yeah. So I was like, well, it's close, though.
Yeah, it's a quick little flight.
20-minute flight or train or whatever.
Yeah, so but you made me second-guess myself because I did have it written down as at Philly. So when you asked me, I'm
confused.
You're right. Why would Mike be home?
It was that's why I was confusing.
We'll have to get an answer on why Mike Reese is at home and not in Philadelphia having a salmon cheesesteak.
A salmon cheesesteak.
Meanwhile.
Take it easy.
Jeff Darlington joins us on the Goodyear Hotline to play a little hot news or not news.
No. Hold on.
What?
Ask Jeff if he likes salmon cheesesteaks.
Yeah. Have you heard about this phenomenon in Philadelphia, Jeff?
No.
No.
What is it?
It is a salmon.
What's it called?
Salmon
cheesesteak.
And apparently we're not cultured enough to understand just how good it is.
Salmon as in the fish? We're talking about fish?
Yes, salmon. Yes, with the L. Yes.
And they got the peppers
and the onions.
Why
would you mess up such a good thing?
We're trying to figure
that
out.
It's, you're messing with a good thing. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, we got a couple on pizza, man.
We got a couple Philadelphia producers that I guess they frequent.
They like this?
The location.
Yeah, well, one does and one doesn't. There's a little civil war going on right now in the control room about this from two Philly
guys. There should be. I certainly side with the steak and cheese. The salmon, that's just weird. That's just disgusting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that super. Is like. It's a cheese steak, but yet it doesn't have cheese nor steak. So, anyways, let's digress and get to some real hot news or not news.
That's a salmon sandwich. that is not news.
All right. Well, how about this? Is this news? Aaron Rodgers says he does not want a farewell tour.
It is not news. Should we all be in a great situation to be like, you know what, everybody, save your applause for after the show? Like, not news. And honestly, like, I'm already tired about next offseason. It's going to be just absolutely exhausting to talk about that every day. But no, not news at all.
Not news at all. Like you said, Jeff, Aaron Rodgers is not retiring. If he moves on from Green Bay, he's still going to play for somebody else. You don't get a farewell tour until you say, I'm done playing. I got 17 games left, and this is it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But still, no,
I'll tell you what you get. You got a middle finger on the way out the door if you're going to quit on them.
I just love it, though. It's like, no. Let's not celebrate me this season. Oh, okay, great. Humility with boatloads. Meanwhile, also quarterback story in Green Bay. Jordan Love. So let's continue. Hot news or not news. Jordan Love not practicing, but will get every opportunity to play this weekend.
So it's not new. The injury aspect of it is not news to me. Don't care about that. Feels minor. It's hot news if Jordan Love can't show that he has what it takes to be a quarterback in Green Bay after that pick is what got us into this whole deal. I'm not blaming Jordan Love. I'm more blaming the organization. Not news about the injury. Hot news, though, that Jordan Love continues to maybe uninspire during his performances.
You know, it's hot news, Jeff, to me, because we now know Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback, but who's the backup? So he needs to get the reps to be able to say to them, I can at least be number two, because we saw DeShone Kizer when Aaron Rodgers wasn't healthy, and we saw Brent Huntley when he wasn't healthy. And they don't want to go through that again, I'm sure, because Aaron Rodgers has missed time in his career in Green Bay. So they need to solidify that number two spot.
Yeah, Jordan Love.
And Key, here's the problem. Here's the problem in Green Bay. If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, their season is done. And that is the overarching problem for all of this. If you take him out of the piece of the puzzle, if you take that piece of the puzzle out of the mix, the Green Bay Packers are done. Right. That is hot news.
That's the hot news. So Jeff Darlington saying if they have to go to number two, they're going to become number two. Let's go to Denver. Hot news or not news. Vic Fangio says he's pretty damn close to a quarterback decision.
Not news, man. It's not news until you tell me who the quarterback is. I'm tired of the – and by the way, how are you – you're pretty close, but you also are – they're 50-50. Like, that sounds like a problem to me. Like, if it's not becoming very clear who your quarterback is, you don't have a quarterback. So that's not news, man. It's news. We'll write the headline up when you name your starter.
You know, I think it's hot news to the Denver Bronco fans because they've been waiting to get another guy in there since Peyton Manning decided to retire. They've been looking for somebody, and they haven't found one yet. And I think he is close. And I think that close is going to be Teddy Bridgewater based on experience, winning a division, going to a playoffs. And I sense that. I could kind of tell that that's where they want to lean toward.
Get a game manager.
Yeah, that definitely.
All right, we continue. Hot news or not news with Jeff Darlington. Brett Veach says that the Chiefs want a deal for Tyrann Mathieu. But, you know, money's tight. We got to find some money. Hot news or not news?
Not news just because I don't want to hear it. You know, show the man the money. I'm pro player there, baby. Let's you know, you're finding money for everybody. Let's find some for Honey Badger. So, I'm going to say not news, even though it's a problem if he's out the door. That's hot news if he ends up leaving.
I think it is hot news. Because when you look at it, though, Jeff, I always tell everybody they can pay who they want to pay. They can find the money. But when start looking at the reduction and loss of revenue and all that sort of stuff, it becomes hot news. And Honey Badger wants to finish his career in Kansas City. But if they allow him to get out of this season into free agency, I promise you he will be bye-bye. And they will be trying to replace that position for years to come.
Watch that on their defensive side. Yeah. All right, continuing. Hot news or not news, Jeff Darlington. Mike McCarthy says there's a good chance Dak Prescott won't play this preseason.
You know, that's hot news to me. And not because I understand, by the way, that not playing in this one doesn't mean he wouldn't be healthy enough to play in the last preseason game. McCarthy basically saying, this is the dress rehearsal. We're going to go to the bottom of our roster for that final game. That's the reason Dak wouldn't play in that game. But it is hot news from the standpoint of, like, I mean, what's going on here? Like, it makes me nervous every day that Dak is not at full speed. I get it's part of the plan. Look, they can be patient. We can be impatient. I am just ultimately concerned that Dak Prescott in week one will not be the Dak Prescott that we expect him to be. It's until he proves that he is healthy enough to be that guy, I'm going to maintain my concern. Call it paranoia, call it overthinking it, but to me, it's hot news until further notice.
Jeff, not news at all, because here's a guy coming off a leg injury, man, that you just gave $150-something million dollars of guaranteed money to. You're not going to put him out there in harm's way. Let's just wait
until
the season starts, and let's roll it out there. He'll be rusty anyway, and I talked about this the other day. If you play him in this week's game and he goes 20 snaps and you don't play him in the last game and then he sits for another 2 weeks, those 20 reps that he got in week two, for what?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I agree with that, Key. I'm playing the hot news, not news game, where I feel like it's hot news that he continues to not be able to practice. But I feel you there. No reason to march him out there for a preseason game. I'm with you there. That's not news.
It's preseason, as I'm constantly reminded, despite the fact that I get excited about the fact that we actually have live games. All right, continuing, hot news news?
It's the biggest. By the way, the whole preseason thing is like, preseason's here. Oh, it's football. No, football starts in like 5 weeks after the preseason starts.
Right, you get really excited, football. You sit down, you watch two series, then you go like, I'm done. I'm checking
biggest
out.
Biggest tease since high school.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. You know, okay, man.
Jeff's got
Disney,
stories.
Jeff's got stories. Class. Hey. Class. Yes, that's good.
All right.
Academics.
Hot news or not news, Jeff? Let's go to Chicago, where Tevin Jenkins is going to have back surgery.
Brought back some bad memories. that's hot news. I mean, look, this is a team trying to find the quarterback of the future, so you want to protect him as much as possible. That's reasonable news in Chicago. No doubt about it. I don't love hearing anybody having back surgery. Certainly not an offensive lineman.
That's certainly hot news. Like you said, they're trying to figure out the quarterback. Now you're missing your big tackle. It's not good at all. I mean, this is one of those deals where it's going to be a major setback for them in their game planning, because they got to protect that left side because both quarterbacks are right-handed.
With that in mind, we stay in Chicago with hot news or not news, Jeff. Andy Dalton says it's his time as quarterback, as QB1 in Chicago. Hot news or not news?
No, not news, bub. From a competitive standpoint, I appreciate what Andy Dalton is saying. I would not want him to say anything else. From like a PR management standpoint, which I understand quarterbacks are not paid to do, like, you got to kind of know your audience. Like, the Chicago fans right now are so excited. They don't want to hear Andy Dalton say, it's my time. It's like, hey, look, you want to call it your time, that's fine. We'll give you this week. But then in next week, we're going back to our boy Justin Fields.
Yeah, hot news for sure, because Andy Dalton just put the organization in a tough situation, and Matt Nagy knows it, because he's basically saying, you promised me the starting job, it's my team, and if Matt Nagy decides to do something different, he's going to have to answer to that.
Jeff, great stuff.
Guess what? You know who's going to have to answer to if he doesn't start Justin Fields real soon? The city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And that scares me a lot more than Andy Dalton.
Everybody just looking at their watches of the first series of the season. Jeff, great stuff as always. Good to catch up
with
you,
Dalton.
Man. Thanks so much.
It's my time.
All right, Jeff Darlington, your time is up on the Goodyear hotline. So, Andy Dalton says this is his time in Chicago, but how long will it take for that time to be up? We'll dive deeper into that after SportsCenter.
That's in the bottom of the third. The pitch, and Ohtani swings, and he lifts a missile out into right center. That one is out of here. Home run, Shohei Ohtani. That is number 40 of the season. And how about tonight? On this Wednesday, it's showtime.
Showtime indeed. Angels Radio, AM 830, as Shohei Ohtani, he hit his 40th home run. That's the most in the league. He also, by the way, pitched 8 innings. He improved to 8-1 on the season, allowed 6 hits, striking out 8, walked none. in what was a 3-1 win over the Tigers. So that 40th home run, most by a pitcher in a single season. Babe Ruth has the next two records at 34 home runs in 1933 and 20 in 1921.
I wonder if he could be a good athlete at some, another sport.
He's got, like, he's a tremendous athlete.
Like, dude, pitch eight innings and then go yard on.
Right, right. And it's amazing how he just doesn't seem to get tired either. Meanwhile, Freddie Freeman hits for the cycle for the second time in his career. The reigning NL MVP doubled in the first, tripled in the fourth, singled in the fifth, and hit his 27th homer, a two-run blast in the sixth, an 11-9 win over the Marlins. It was the seventh cycle in franchise history. Freeman also had a cycle against Cincinnati in 2016. In the NBA, a very interesting story going on out of Golden State, as Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are blaming Steve Kerr and Bob Myers for their breakup of that super team they had with the Warriors. In an interview on Chips on Bleacher Report, Durant and Green said they believe the coach and the president GM were at fault for the way they handled the players' emotional back and forth on the floor that spilled over into the locker room after an overtime loss to the Clippers in November of 2018. The players' argument ultimately contributed to Durant leaving the team following the 2018-19 season. SportsCenter, brought to you by Indeed. Is hiring become your second job? Quit the hassle and get on Indeed. You'll find great candidates fast with Instant Match. Just sponsor a post and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's just dive deeper into this thing with Andy Dalton and the Bears and what's happening there, because as you heard again, him saying that, you know, it's his time. And I completely understand why Andy Dalton, as a veteran who still feels like he can get it done, when he's asked about it, I mean, he's not going to concede the starting position. But let's listen again to Dalton talking about Fields, knowing Fields is coming. But for Andy Dalton, he said, right now, it's my job.
There's so much excitement with Justin. And, I mean, it's deservedly so. I mean, he's a first-round pick. And do I want the fans behind me and this team and all that kind of stuff? Yes. Do I want them behind Justin? Absolutely, I do. That's not my focus. I can't focus on all that right now. Like I've said before, Justin's going to have his time, and Justin's going to have a great career. But right now, it's my time. And so my focus is on being the best player I can be for this team and do everything I can to help this team win.
See, again, I appreciate the fact that he's not conceding anything. For him to just sit back and say, yeah, you know, Justin's great, you know, he's going to have a great career, it's going to be, you know, this is really his team, I'm just going to help out. Like, no, I'm going to compete for this thing, I'm going to make that kid earn it. So I don't mind what he's saying, but I know it's not going to be a very popular thing among fans in Chicago.
Fans are some teammates, for that matter.
That's a fair point. Now, yeah. I asked you earlier how you would react to this as a teammate, but let me ask you it this way. How would you answer that question if it was you in that position?
I'd probably just sit there and say, you know, I was brought here this offseason to be the starting quarterback, and I'm going to continue to take that mindset. Justin is a great player, and it's going to be a challenge I'm up for, and I know that based on where he was drafted, a lot of people want to see that young energy and that spunk and things of that nature take place, but you know, I'm going to give it all I got, and I've been in this league a long time. I know how to play. I'm not worried about those sort of things. And if for some reason I need to be a leader and help him continue to make the transition from college to the pros, then that's what I'll do. But until then, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to compete every single day. That's how I would answer it.
And as a reporter, I might use three words out of that.
Okay, that's on you to figure out what to
exactly.
Use.
Exactly. Like, but seriously, that's how that works, because it's just like,
okay, I gave you nothing.
You gave me nothing, and you know you gave me nothing other than the end part where you said, and I'll, because saying I'm willing to help out and be the leader. Because Kurt Warner did this with Eli Manning. Yeah. Like, Eli eventually took over, but it wasn't
early Kurt was
on.
Bad, though. Kurt Warner was bad when he was in the Giants.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was nowhere near good. He was bad. So you,
and they were four,
at that
I
point,
they were 4-5.
At that point, you're like, yeah, we might as well start Eli. Then he goes to Arizona.
The Giants weren't losing,
and then just
though.
Get, yeah, but it was bad. It was bad play, though.
When they went to Eli, they just
went
down.
But it was fine because you weren't probably going to do anything with that anyway. Mm-hmm. So you just said, let's just start Eli Manning. We don't have time to be messing around with Kurt Warner.
All right, so then you see that if Andy Dalton
is – and then Kurt goes to Arizona and, you know.
Right. All of a sudden he's not bad again.
Gets with Todd Haley, and the next thing you know, he turns into a Super Bowl quarterback.
Right. But,
again.
But with Andy Dalton, you're suggesting then that's not a similar thing, that you think Andy Dalton – if they start Andy Dalton, are the Bears still a good team? Like, let's look at it that way, because he's saying it's my time. All right, well, how much time does he have? Because is there a big difference – in how good the Bears can be between the two quarterbacks?
You know, I haven't seen Andy Dalton up close in person in Chicago. I've only seen highlights and clips. And the little bit that I see, I'm like, oh, okay. Spacing is there. Bam, ball out. So I'm like, okay. It's preseason, though.
Of course.
We ain't bringing exotic blitzes, and you don't have to run for your life. I get all that.
Exotic blitzes.
But when he drops back, he hits the back foot, the ball's out. Spacing is there. He goes to the right guy. I sit there and I say, okay, if he could do that and they could play defense, he could probably hold the kid off. But if they get to this second game and he's playing in the second game, they start to ramp up on defense. Now, all of a sudden, they start to throw a little game planning in there and it starts to look a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I go back and I go, yeah, probably not. And then they'll do Justin the same way. They'll start the blitz and they'll start the game plan Justin Fields the second time around.
Try to speed him up because that was the knock processing for him.
If he's handling it, mm-hmm. Now you say as a team, okay, he's handling what they're giving him. He may be ready. So it just all depends on what it looks like in the end. But Andy Dalton, to me, is capable – of helping this team win games and possibly get a deep run into the playoffs. Look, I know everybody wants Aaron Rodgers. I know everybody wants Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl, man. Tom Brady is not Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career. Mentally, he is. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Mentally, he is. But all they did was play defense, started running the ball well, and Tom did not turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
Tom became legendary Tom Brady. I'm old and I know what to do because I'm going to beat y'all with my mind.
Right.
If Andy Dalton can do some of that, he can hold Justin Fields off.
What would you do?
If I was the head coach?
If you're running that team, what would you do? And again, just remind everybody that the Fields now has a groin issue. So that we'll see if that slows him down this weekend. They do play Saturday afternoon against the Bills. Like, does that hold him back? And if he doesn't get as many reps in a second preseason game, will that also hinder his ability to win the job? We need to be seen. And then the left tackle issue, as we mentioned, Tevin Jenkins getting back surgery. They're hoping to get him back at some point this season, but clearly won't be there early in the season when you're going to need, obviously, you know, to get that line established. So maybe Jason Peters or somebody else does that. So with all of that in mind, what would you do?
I probably, based on what little bit of clips I saw.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
Let's just assume that I've seen everything and it all looked like it's supposed to look. I'm probably going to start Andy Dalton. Probably going to start him.
Short leash?
Oh, my God, yes.
Like the minute you don't like what you see, it's like, let's go.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's not even close. But I'm going to start him and let him know, if you screw up, number one is waiting. No, I'm telling you. You got to be honest.
Yeah.
Hey, I need you. I, you're the veteran guy. I'm letting you start. We need you. But if not, I got a young guy that I got to turn to that can give me that spark. Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson. That's what I would do if it was me.
Now, how are we talking about first game if you don't like what you
see? No, it would be
a couple of weeks.
It would be first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, okay. That
now, all of a sudden, the first quarter of the season, if we are 2-2, but really could be 3-1, now I have to – or if it's that we're now getting ready, we start off at 1-2, and those two games is because of you and not because something happened on, you know, fumble here or missed field goal there. It all depends on how it looks.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of it is how much is he contributing to winning or losing. and that's where you make your decision. But I agree with you. I do think, as much as it's exciting to see the young quarterback start from the beginning, it doesn't mean he can't take over at some point of the season. But at the very beginning, it might not make sense. And we'll see if this injury actually has an impact on that if he can't
because
play.
Because I think, I'll say it again, I think Andy Dalton is serviceable enough. Last year, I can't deal with the Dallas situation, but I just do. Better team than when he was in Cincinnati at the end. Better team than last year in Dallas. And I just think that if he could just do some of the things that we ask him to do, you can win a lot of games that way.
Just don't turn the ball over, that's for sure. All right, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. So yesterday we did duos. Today we expand it to trios. So who is the best trio offensive side of the ball in the NFL right now? Key made a list, and we're going to share it with you next. And so many people argued with Key yesterday. Imagine the vitriol.
They didn't argue with me because I wasn't paying attention.
Today, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin on the
arguing
ESPN
with their damn
app.
Self.
And by asking your smart speaker, hey, play ESPN Radio.
The beginning of the season, God, man, I want to be in that moment. It's just one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Marty Smith, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Dallas Cowboys are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Syracuse Orange are ready.
This is Alan Hahn. I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so yesterday we did the top duos. We did wide receiver, running back, top duos in the NFL. And we made a list of five. And, of course, there were people picking that apart. And then we said, well, you know what? What if we expanded it to three? Because if you add the quarterbacks, some would go up, some would go down. We will discuss that in a minute. So, Key's Real Rankings today, we do the top six trios in the NFL. Take it away, Key.
Number six.
Well, we'll start at six. And if you remember yesterday, just a duel was number one with Henry as well as A.J. Brown or Julio Jones. But
Tennessee,
they added Ryan Tannehill to the situation, and they move as a trio to me down to number six, because when I look at him as a quarterback, he does a terrific job, but he's more of a sort of manager type opposed to a real threat from beginning to end at the quarterback spot. And then when you can swap out Brown and add Julio Jones in there if you wanted a trio. So they got a nice nucleus in Tennessee. We just got to see it gel come this season.
Number five.
Number five, Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper. I mean, if you want to throw CeeDee Lamb in the mix, you could do that as well. But I think that when you talk about a quarterback coming back off injury and Dak Prescott, he should bounce back with no problem at all. Ezekiel Elliott with a new offense, not necessarily a new offensive line, but a healthy offensive line, he should bounce back to form where he is one of the top running backs in the National Football League. And we all know what Amari Cooper brings to the game as long as he catches the football.
Number four.
Number four, they were not on this list at all, but they slide in there. One, the Cleveland Browns. You got Baker. You got OBJ. You got Chubb, Kareem Hunt, or Landry, depending on how you want it. Mm-hmm. I like the flash and the dance of OBJ, so I slid him in there. I think he comes back off that ACL injury, doesn't miss a beat whatsoever. You got the running game in Hunt and Chubb. And Baker Mayfield is going to take the next step at quarterback. You can see it in Kevin Stefanski's offense. He continues to get better week in and week out. So they're sitting at number four.
Number three,
the Tampa Bay Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, the old man Tom Brady. Now, you put him in there. Yesterday, he wasn't in. The running backs wasn't in. The wide receivers were not in. Tampa Bay was not in at all. But because of the three of these guys, and once again, they've got so many to choose from, whether it's Evans and Fournette or Ronald Jones or Gronkowski or O.J. Howard, Godwin, Antonio Brown. I could pick and choose which trio I want to go with. But these are the three right now. There's Brady, Evans, and Fournette, and they sit at number three.
Number two
is, relax, Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers sits at two. They were not in here at this spot.
Weren't they five?
No, I don't know if they were five. I think they were four yesterday.
Four? Okay.
But they're number two because of Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Jones. Now, when you look at it, Aaron Rodgers adds a lot to a trio. You lose Aaron Rodgers, that trio is no-no. Mm-hmm. And number one is clear cut. Patrick Mahomes, Kelce, and Tariq. Those right there are three all-pro players that continue to just shine in the National Football League.
And I believe that
is what they are, number one.
He just interrupted you. Yeah, I don't know if you can argue with one or two. After that, I think they're interchangeable, but the sixth there for sure. Now, some honorable mentions I think we can throw in here. First of all, it is worth mentioning that the Vikings duo, right, of Jefferson and Cook
Dalvin were in
your top five.
Yes.
They're not in. You add Kirk Cousins and suddenly they're not even in your
top
six.
Kirk Cousins.
You
better
add Brady and they upgrade the Bucs into your top six. You add Kirk Cousins and you take a team and they're out of the
top
five.
Is Kirk Cousins better than any of those quarterbacks?
No.
Right, that or in the five. I mean, in the six. Is he better than any of the six?
So he sandbags what is a very talented duo, but you add him to the mix and now it's like, I'm not being mean.
It's just
he ain't, you know.
You like that?
No, we don't like that, apparently.
Think about it, we all know he's not better than Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Baker, Dak, Tannehill. I mean, is he better than any of them quarterbacks?
Those three together, though, is the key. It's not just him.
But he crushes them by, he just does. Now, because if you take Tannehill and you put Tannehill with Jefferson and Dalvin Cook, they're in the top six. He's not better than Tannehill.
Oof.
And okay. He's not better than a young Baker Mayfield.
No, but I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying it's just funny how a duo can be that good. And you
that
add the
strong.
Quarterback and it just.
Yeah.
The
and
bottom
then Russell
drops
Wilson,
out. Well,
Seattle.
One, right, Seattle.
Seattle, you know, Russell Wilson.
DK Metcalf, Lockett, Carson.
They could have slid in there somewhere. I mean, I just didn't because I don't know what their offense is going to look like this year because they faded down the stretch last year. And then I just don't know about their running game. You know, they went heavy pass last year. Mm-hmm. But they're right there, though. I think they're going to be one of the explosive offenses in the league.
It just shows you, too, again, that, like the amount of talent that you put together in one offense and just how good they can be, but how the quarterback still is such the linchpin. Because it really is all that matters.
If you got one of those guys, that's why I tell people all the time, when you got one of those quarterbacks, you got a chance. When you don't have a quarterback, you ain't got a chance in hell, man.
What's interesting is that when you did your list of 1 through Tannehill, when we were ranking the quarterbacks, he was 14. But yet you take into consideration Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown.
And Julio Jones.
And now all of a sudden it's like, well, as a group, they're top six.
Yeah, because he is not strong enough to me to elevate his team the way Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes is.
Right.
I can drop Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Just like I talk basketball, I feel like I could take a middle-aged LeBron James and drop him into Sacramento, and they go in a championship.
Lies, lies.
lies, lies, and more lies.
That's how I feel.
I don't know if I'm going to allow you to say that. To the championship? What, the summer league? They just won one.
No, no. I feel that he just elevates everything around
him. I agree that.
So it's like I drop him in there.
Yeah, so there's certain people like a LeBron that you put him on a team, and that team suddenly goes
from Aaron Rodgers.
No
that's
good
a Tom Brady. That's the Patrick Mahomes of the world.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, they just look different with them on the team.
Yeah, Brady too. You drop Brady
that's
into the Tampa team.
Yeah, and they just look different.
Yeah, they definitely look different. All right, so that is it. If you have any arguments with Key,
well, they're going to have you're going to have a whole bunch.
888 ESPN, 888-729-3776 as well. Coming
up. I
don't
listen to you guys anyway. This show sucks.
Oh, he listens. I make him listen. One NFL quarterback is going all fanboy over Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my God, it's Aaron Rodgers.